And may the grace and mercy and peace of that beloved and loved Son of God fill our hearts and minds this day as we rejoice that the Spirit has given us an epiphany. And today, as we remember and celebrate the baptism of our Lord, it's a great day for us also to thank God for our own baptism. Whenever I teach on baptism to my 7th and 8th graders for confirmation, I always give them a homework assignment. I say, do you know what your baptism day is? And I said, if you don't know, find out. Ask your parents. And I actually have a reminder on my phone. My baptism birthday is November 10th. That happens to be also Luther's birthday, but my phone dings and I look and I have my confirmation Bible verse there, and it's a great way to remember and to celebrate. And so today we're going to thank God that we have been baptized into the body of Christ, as Paul reminds us in our epistle reading for today. And that scripture there from Romans chapter 6, very often at our funerals, we read a portion of that to remind us, and it's a very important reminder as we lay to rest someone that we love who's gone to be with the Lord, that yes, their earthly remains are going to be buried or laid to rest, but God has promised a resurrection, and that body will be a living body again. So may the Spirit bless us today as we focus on this particular scripture, Romans 6, verse 4. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. And so, first and foremost, we give thanks that, as Paul says, we are baptized into Christ. And Paul's favorite picture of the church, he liked to call it the body of Christ, and that's what I would like to focus on. And I think this is a very fitting theme for you all as a congregation, especially during a time of vacancy, to remember that you are united together and to be praying for that oneness in the body of Christ. And it offers many challenges, but also many opportunities for you as the body of Christ in this place. So the first thought I want to share with you is a reminder that you have been baptized into that body of Christ as a living member. And as Paul says throughout the epistles that he writes, he uses that image over and over again. He says, you are a part of the body of Christ. And he says, and you are a necessary part of the body of Christ. And sometimes during a vacancy, it's an opportunity as members of the body of Christ to kind of step up and to serve and to have a time of renewal, and certainly a time of reflection on the blessing and how thankful you are for the many, many years of service of Pastor Nairns and Kathy, and certainly I know you're continuing to keep them in your prayers as well. But I'm also going to give you a challenge to start praying for your pastor, whoever that is. You and I might not know who that is right now, but God does, and the Holy Spirit does too. So we're baptized as living members, and in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, this is how Paul captures that image for us. This is 12:12, 1 Corinthians. For just as the body is one, but has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free. We are all made to drink of the one Spirit. So not only are you baptized into the living body of Christ and called to be those living members, but we're also called to be unifying members. And again, in a vacancy time, that's even more important that you see the bond that you have together as brothers and sisters in Christ, as fellow members of the body of Christ. Because, you know who doesn't want us one? The devil. He loves to deceive, and he loves to divide. And in fact, being one was so important to Jesus that on the night when he was betrayed, when he was praying in the garden, we hear his prayer in John 17. And one of the things he prayed for, he said, Father, may they be one as we are one. And so that unity is so important for us too. And it's a reminder too, is what is it that unites us? It's that faith that we have in Jesus Christ, but it's also the love of God that he's shown us in Christ Jesus that unites us. And it's also the love of God that empowers us to be one. You know, and 1 Corinthians 13, sometimes called the great love chapter, it's often read at weddings, right? Love is patient and kind and all of that. And Paul says, you know, I can do all these other things, but if I have no love, you know, he says, I'm like a clanging gong. So love is that unifying force, and it's the love of God shown to us in Christ Jesus that compels us. But again, I want you to think about it, that it is his love for you that unites us not only to him, but unites us together as members of the body of Christ. And as I said, the devil is a great divider. And we see what sin does. Sin is also like a wedge, it divides. We go all the way back to Adam and Eve. As soon as they sinned, there was a division, a separation between them and God. We see a separation between Adam and Eve. You know, they're blaming each other, and then their children, Cain and Abel. And I want to encourage you to watch out for these two dividers that the devil loves to use. I think they're his favorites. One is gossip. And during a time of vacancy, I mean, it can happen at any time in the church, but it's very easy to kind of go, well, what's going on? And did you hear this? Or why are we doing that? And that's part of why we're having the gathering, the meeting today, to talk about, well, this is how the call works, because it's been a few years since you've had to go through the call process, and what a blessing that is. And one of the things I want to encourage you when it comes to gossip is don't do it and don't listen to it. So if someone starts gossiping, if someone brings something up that doesn't really relate to you, or you don't even really know is the truth or not, it's always good to say, well, let's stop there. I don't really need to hear that, and I certainly don't need to share it. And this is where I would encourage you, if you have questions about what's going on during this time, to speak with your elders, because that's the role you've entrusted to them, not only as elders, but they serve as your call committee. And so it's really important to talk with each other and to talk to those who know. There's an interesting verse about, it doesn't say the word gossip in particular, but this is 2 Thessalonians 3. And Paul says, it's dangerous when you're not busy about the work of the Lord, but when you're a busybody. Listen to this, 2 Thessalonians 3:11. We hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busybodies. And I always think about that's kind of butting in where you don't necessarily belong. But if you do have questions or concerns, it's good to talk to the leaders that God has chosen for you. The second one, and again, this is a very powerful one, and it's, I think, one of Satan's great tools in trying to keep us divided. If gossip is one, the second one is grudges. Holding on when someone has done something wrong to us and not forgiving. You know, the word in Greek for forgiveness literally means to let go. And my wife Margie and I had this verse, this passage from Colossians at our wedding, and it talks about how important in any relationship, certainly between husbands and wives, but as members of the body of Christ too, how important it is to forgive, because I'm a sinner and you are a sinner. We're all sinners, and we are going to fall short with our thoughts, our words, our actions. So Paul offers this word about being willing to let go in Colossians 3. He says, bear with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgive each other as the Lord has forgiven you. You know, and that's really what we pray every time we pray the Lord's Prayer, as we'll do again today. Forgive us our trespasses, right? And this is interesting, by the way. In sign language, this is sign for forgiveness. And I kind of do that in my mind, whether I literally do it or not, when I'm praying those petitions in the Lord. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And we are in the forgiving business. We all need to receive it, and we all need to give it. And again, right after that, he talks about what's the unifying bond that we have. He says, above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And as I said already, I really hope that this time of vacancy for you individually and for you corporately can be a time of renewed prayer. So as I said, I want to encourage you to begin praying, if you haven't already, for whoever your new pastor will be. Start praying for them. Us as pastors and as your vicar, future pastor, we need your prayers. And I want to give you three ways in particular, three P's to pray for your pastor, okay? First of all, pray for our preaching. I heard this joke, I guess it's a joke, but it says, do you want a better pastor? Do you want a better preacher? Then pray for the one you got, right? And as you enter the sanctuary on Sunday mornings or even Saturday night before you go to bed, in your prayers say, Holy Spirit, bless our pastor as he's getting ready to share the word with us. And again, you kind of have to do that in advance right now. Pray that your pastor, as Pastor Nairns did, to be so faithful to the word of God, to the teachings and the doctrine of that word of God. So pray for the preaching. And second, pray that we have good, healthy priorities. And I have to tell you, when Pastor Nairns was first elected as our district president, and I was elected as the regional vice president, when we had our first meeting with all of the circuit visitors and the vice presidents, he gave us all a sheet, and it reminded us of the priorities that we need to have, even as servants in the district. He said, first and foremost is your relationship with God, your personal faith. Then is your family. You know, and if you're married, your spouse, and if you have kids, parents in that role. He said, then your service to your congregation, and then, after that, your service to the district. And I always appreciated how, even when we had events and things that we were needed to be at, for whether it's a district board meeting or that, you know, that he would say, well, you need to take care of your family and yourself and your congregation first, and then offer that service to the church at large. So to pray for our preaching, to pray for our priorities, but also pray for your pastor's protection. And you can think of that in three ways. His spiritual protection, because the devil is not dumb. He's not God, and he's not omniscient. He's just very observant. And as I said, he's smart. He's deceptive. And if you think about it, from the devil's perspective, if he said, if I could only attack one person in the church body, who should I attack? And he says, well, let me attack the leader of the church, and hopefully then I can impact even more. So pray for your pastor's spiritual protection, pray for his emotional, mental well-being and health, and also for his physical health. And what a blessing that is. And here again, Paul encourages us to be praying for one another, but especially for our leaders, and that can be certainly, you know, in government as well, that we have a peaceful setting for the sake of the gospel. In 1 Timothy, Paul says, first of all, I urge that supplications and prayers, thanksgivings and intercessions be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that they may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. So be praying for the body, but also for yourself. Because the last thing I want to close with is, you have been baptized into that body of Christ, and the Spirit and the Father and Jesus would like us to be healthy and living and thriving members. And how does that happen? How do we stay healthy, living, growing, active members of the body of Christ? We have to be connected to the Word of God. You know, it is the Word of God in the waters of our baptism that brought us into the family of God, or perhaps through hearing the Word of God first and being brought to faith and then to the waters of baptism. And in Bible class today, that's what I'm going to be talking about, some questions and answers about baptism and what it means for us, and and why we do it the way we do it, and why do we baptize infants, and what does that mean for us? But again, the power of baptism, as Luther reminds us, it's not water alone, it's water and the Word. So especially during this time of vacancy, let me challenge you to be in the Word, to know the Word, to read it, to hear it preached. I encourage you to be active in your worship life, but also in your daily devotional life. Because it's one thing just to hear the Word of God, to know it in our head. It's another thing to apply it to our hearts, isn't it? And that really means we're experiencing that Word of God, not just on Sunday morning during worship or Sunday school, but every day we're living that Word out. And, you know, the psalmist in many of the psalms talk about what should our heart attitude be towards the Word of God, and literally that we embrace that Word of God. And I like to think this, you know, every time you open up the Scriptures, you are reading God's love letter to you. And how special that is, and how thankful we are for that Word of God. But this is also the season of Epiphany. And Epiphany means to reveal, to make known. And that's a reminder, too, that we are to be proclaimers of that Word of God. And I know you all know someone who needs to hear the Word of God. Maybe you know them, and they're close to you, but maybe they're far away from Jesus, or they know of Jesus, but they don't really know Jesus as you do. And may the Spirit lead you and empower you as He does with that wonderful Word of God. And so in our text for today, we heard this word, and I'm going to close with it. Romans 6:11 says, "So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus." And so may the Holy Spirit bless you and bless us together as we journey through this time of vacancy and seek His will and guidance for who the next pastor of Trinity will be. That together, as the body of Christ, we may be worshiping together and serving together and loving together, living members of the body of Christ. Amen. And may that peace of God that passes all of our human understanding, may it guard and keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.